Good afternoon, everybody. I am conscious that we have started much later than normal and that your bellies are much more full than normal. So I will do my best not to be long. I won't promise specifically how long because I don't have enough practice at this kind of stuff, but I will do my best to keep it short. So I think, first of all, before I get started, I'm just really excited about seeing the Lord's hand at work. And I think today what we have seen is really the Lord working. Pastor had no idea what was planned, but how fitting was the message that we had this morning in relationship to what we are celebrating today? And that's the goodness of God in giving his pastor and his wife and family to serve here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And this message was not planned to be related to today, but it absolutely goes hand in glove with today. This message was something where Pastor 2 weeks ago, when it really was time to celebrate his anniversary, and he was like, you know, incredibly ill and struggling to speak. And I just made an offer to him and I said, Pastor, I'm happy to cover the afternoon if you need. And all I was going to do was just share something simple out of what I got out of my scripture reading. And then Pastor said, no, I'm going to plow through. It's all us men do, right? We're just going to press on anyway. And he preached and Lord gave him strength. So I think it was of the Lord that he did preach that afternoon. But he said, hey, Andrew, can you share that in 2 weeks' time? So I'm sharing today the thing that was organized long before I even thought about today or something relevant to today. But yet the Lord knew. God knew, and he planned this. So I want to share with you something today about how people gave a helping hand. And the challenge for the message today is about us and how we can give a helping hand. So turn to Jeremiah, please, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 26. I'm going to take us through the scriptures and show us a few things from the Jeremiah 26. And then I'll share just a few simple thoughts from that, and then we will call it a day. This is something where, just in my personal Bible reading, and I encourage everybody to have a time of personal Bible reading, as I'm just reading through the scriptures and just seeking from the Lord what he wanted to share with me, this particular verse at the end of this chapter stood out to me as I was reading my Bible on this day. And it was a little while ago, actually, and I just noted it down. I keep a journal, you know, which, given it's tech, it's a spreadsheet, actually. There's a spreadsheet on my phone, and I've got this little spreadsheet on my phone where I type in, you know, just when the Lord gives me something, I type it in there and I note it down. And this is something that I had noted down there, and when I went and reflected, I thought, you know what, this is something that I could speak to and just share. And it's really just a devotional type thought. So what we see here is a time when nation of Israel is in judgment, and they're in... You know, the Lord has been judging the nation because of their sin, their idolatry, their walk away from the Lord. And we see here Jeremiah and another prophet, actually, and I want to contrast the two. So I will read some of the scriptures and then we will stop. I'll move through quite a fair bit first because I want to give you the context to show you just the time that we're dealing with here. So just the context, the setting, and the time. Before I read the scripture, let's pray and then we'll get into it. So Father, thank you for our pastor. Thank you for Corinne. Thank you for Kaylee as well, who have all faithfully served in our church. And Father, as we look at the passage of scripture today about how some people, or particularly one person, was helpful, may we all take away something from this on how we can be helpful. And Father, I pray that you would use me to speak today and this afternoon truth from your scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here in the beginning, actually that's what it says, that's just a coincidence. Anyway, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. Sorry, context, he's talking to Jeremiah here, right? So he's going to Jeremiah saying, stand, sorry, starting at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which came to worship the Lord in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. So here he is saying, Jeremiah, go, share what I ask you to share and don't take anything out of it. Which in our modern vernacular, we would say, don't water down the message. Okay, don't water down the message. In verse 3, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil that is in their doings. So here's God, he's saying, hey, go give them a warning. I am going to judge them. I am going to show them the wrath of God in righteous judgment because of their wickedness and their sin. And he's saying, hey, Jeremiah, if you go and talk to them and they repent, then I don't have to do that. All right? I don't have to do that. In verse 4, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken unto me, so this is the opposite. So if they hearken, he doesn't need to judge them. If they listen, he doesn't need to judge them. But if they don't listen to walk in my law, which I have set before thee, verse 5, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. So he's going to say, hey, look, if you're not listening, if you're not paying attention, then this is what's going to happen. In verse 6, then will I make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So some pretty strong judgment here. So who here would say, yep, I would like to go tell a whole bunch of people that message, right? Sign me up. I will go out and tell everybody this message. Well, you know it is the most unpopular message that's out there. Verse 7, so the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. So what did Jeremiah do? He obeyed. He obeyed God and he went and delivered this unpopular message to these people who really are just walking in wickedness and evil and sin and living life the way that they want to. Not a crowd that was really ready to receive this. This wasn't a church of believers that were waiting for the preaching of God's word. This is people who were living in sin, living away from God, living in selfishness. And God has said, Jeremiah, go and share this message with them. Give them this warning. Give them this warning of great judgment. In verse 8, now it came to pass that Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, and what are the next four words? Thou shalt die. Pastor, you were talking this morning about how things could always be worse. I don't think you've preached a message yet where the congregation has gone, thou shalt die at the end of the message. And praise the Lord for that, amen? Because here's Jeremiah. We look at this and we might laugh, and that's my fault because I kind of framed it that way. But we look at this and it is sincere. These people, their response to God's word was preached to them. It is a privilege to have God's word preached to us, amen? Here are privileged people, privileged to hear the word of God, a message that God had directly sent for them. And what do they wanted to do? They wanted to kill the messenger. That's exactly what they wanted to do right here at this point in time. Verse 9, why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord? You know, why are you using God's name? Why are you saying it's from him? This house shall be like the house of Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and all the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. So here's this stirring of these people who are going like, this guy cannot live. And these are... What, there were two kinds of people. What were they? Starts with P. Were you listening to what I was saying? All right, Lala was. Lala's paying attention. Yeah, priests and? Starts with P as well. Prophets, yeah. So what were they? Priests and prophets, right? Now, were these the people you would normally think of as the people that were contrary to God's word? No, these are the people that should be in sync with God. These are the people that should be in tune with God. They should be with God and delivering his message. But they were not delivering his message. And in fact, they were working against his message and coming to Jeremiah and saying, like to the princes then, and saying, hey, kill this man. When in fact, Jeremiah was the one that had the truth. So then Jeremiah sticks up for himself and he says, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways. So here he is still begging with them. Hey, please just change what you're doing. Change. Move away from this. Repent of this. amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. So he's saying, hey, look, it doesn't need to happen. This doesn't need to happen. This judgment that you're fighting, this judgment that you want to kill me for, it doesn't even need to happen. You just need to repent. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. So he was resolved. He's like, if I'm going to die, then so be it, but I'm going to obey God. And I think that's a whole message in and of itself, just about his strength of obedience and commitment to God, knowing that the price was not embarrassment, the price was not awkwardness, the price was not the risk of losing a family member, some of the things we fear in this era that we're in right now. The price was potentially death, losing his life. They could have killed him. Verse 15, but know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants. For a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. And we see a bit of a change of tune here. We see a little bit of an adjustment. The people backed off a little bit. We'll see in verse 16 here. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and the prophets. Notice how, I just think irony here of how wicked this place had become. Is notice here that it's the princes and the people trying to convince the priests and the prophets to change their approach. Watch this, right? So then said the princes and the people unto the priests and the prophets, this man is not worthy to die. So it's the people, the righteous leaders that should have been leading the nation of Israel, that the rest of the people are trying to calm down. And that's not really the point of the message today, but I just thought it was really interesting that it's the people that are trying to do the right thing now, not the priests and the prophets. For he hath spoken unto us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Moreshite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah, put him at all to death? So they're saying, hey, remember this time. Remember in history, there was this time where this guy prophesied, and people didn't like what he said. What did they do? And he said, did he not fear the Lord, and besought the Lord, that the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure evil against our souls. So here they are, they're saying, hey, wait a minute. Do you remember this time in the past where the same thing happened, where a prophet came, preached that we're about to be destroyed, and the people repented, turned to God, and God did not judge them then and did not destroy them? Hey, isn't that what we want today? So somebody was speaking the truth there. Somebody was thinking this through. Now, in verse 20, it's interesting that the scripture then, to me it seems, and I don't know if this with certainty, but to me it seems the conversation then shifts. It's almost like a scene change in a movie. We go from this whole thing that's happening, which presumably happened over a bit of time because there's some travel there or whatever, but it's a continuation of a story. And then in verse 20, we have this almost different thing that starts, like a different scene that we're now looking at. So follow this, for example, because this now cuts to another prophet and what happens in the situation of another prophet. And it talks to us about this here, and it says, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. So here we are, there's a different time, a different prophet doing the same thing, preaching God's word, and the king was against him. The king hated it and wanted to kill him. So he fled to Egypt. And Jehoiakim, in verse 22, the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him. with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So here we are. We've got this situation that Jeremiah is in. They make reference to this time of Hezekiah from a while back. And then now they talk about this prophet, Urijah. And as they talk about this prophet, Urijah, they reflect on the fact that the king killed him. And again, this is not a children's story where you look at that and go, oh, okay, or some fictional story. Like, Urijah is a genuine, real, authentic person who lived and served and worshipped the Lord, who faithfully obeyed God. And as a result of that, he paid the ultimate price of his life for that obedience. And now we've got these people who wanted to do this to Jeremiah. And the piece that really stood out to me as I thought through all of this, as I was reading my scripture, is verse 24. It says here, "Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death." So here we are, I think about Urijah, who lost his life. And then we think about Jeremiah, who certainly, at least at this point in time, did not lose his life. And when we think about the difference, both cases, people wanted to kill them. But I think what was special here, and what the scripture, what the Lord wanted us to know through the scriptures, was about this person, Ahiakim. So here we are, we've got this person, Ahiakim. And it doesn't say what exactly Ahiakim did. You know, was it that Ahiakim came and was in the court with all the people? And was he the one sharing the story about, wait a minute, remember what happened with Hezekiah? Hey, let's not do this. All right, maybe he was the one that spoke up first, contrary to what everyone else was saying. Maybe he put his neck out there and said, please, let's not do this. We're making a mistake. Or maybe the way he helped was that after all that was done, he knew that his life was still in danger. So he said, hey, come with me. And he found a place that he could put him where the people wouldn't find him, or helped him to move on to the next city that he wanted to. The scripture doesn't say how that he helped him. But what the scripture says is that he helped. Jeremiah's outcome could have been the same as Urijah's. Absolutely could have been the same as Urijah's in that situation. But some people spoke up, possibly Ahiakim, maybe it was somebody else, but certainly Ahiakim helped him. And in that, he was able to continue serving the Lord for longer. And I think that's where, if I want to tie this now back to today and what we're acknowledging today, we have pastor who has faithfully served the Lord as pastor for 10 years, faithfully served in the church for longer before that as well, but not in the role of pastor. And if he is like Urijah, who has what would seem no one helping him, then maybe his ministry will end prematurely. You know, maybe it won't last as long. Maybe he won't be able to be effective for the Lord as long. But if we can be like Ahiakim, and we can be a help, and we can be a support, and we can be there to help in those difficult times, those troubling times, the things that are going on, you know what, his ministry can go on for longer. And he can do more for the Lord for longer. And more people can be impacted. Jeremiah did some great things for the Lord after that day, after that chapter. But he wouldn't have been able to do them if he lost his life that day. And pastor may not be at risk of losing his life physically, but there is no doubt, that the devil is out to get his life spiritually and to try and impact him and get him out of doing what he's doing now. The devil does not like people who preach the word of God, who stand for truth, who have an impact. You know what he really loves? Is Christians who make no difference in anyone else's life, because the faith stops there. And what he really doesn't like is somebody who comes and teaches the word of God and has influence over so many people, because so many of us are encouraged and helped by what pastor's doing. So if he can take out one man, he can impact many. And that's what the devil goes after. So I was challenged by this as I read this, and I thought, hey, I need to be an Ahiakim. I need to be that person that's helping. I need to have that helping hand, whatever that need might be. So In the spirit of wrapping up quickly, I want to share with you three things that I think we can take away from this. Three things. How do we be a helping hand? How do we be an Ahiakim? I wish it was an easier name to say. It would have made the message so much better. Yeah. So Mr. A, all right? So the first thing we need to do, there's three things. So if you're taking notes, these are the three things to write down, okay? So the first one is we need to perceive. We need to perceive. We need to be looking out for opportunities to help. To help, we need to have our eyes open. We need to see. Ahiakim would not have helped Jeremiah if he was just distracted in the busyness of life. He wouldn't have helped him if he had his own problems that he was wallowing in and stressing over and anxious on. He wouldn't have helped him if he had just overcommitted with other things in his life that would keep him busy. He wouldn't have helped him if he was a workaholic that was just consciously focused on work all the time. He helped him because he saw a need. He had to see the need first to be able to be a help. So the first thing we need to do is perceive. In Philippians 2:4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." If we're caught up focusing on our own problems, if we're caught up focusing on our own things, if we're caught up in what's happening in our life, we will not be a help to other people. And I think today's message is not just about helping pastor. I think this can apply to other people as well. So in helping people, we first need to perceive. We need to have our eyes open. We need to be looking. The second thing is we need to pray. Prayer needs to be such an important part of our life. We need to focus and spend time praying for people in our community. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for his family. We need to pray for each other. Prayer is so important for us. But yet, often what I'm guilty of is the things that are, coming back to that first point about look not every man on his own things, like I pray for the things that are bothering me, right? The things that are not working out for me, the things that are stressing me, the things that are anxious to me. You know, that's what I spend my time praying about. And I've got to go, wait a minute. You know, I should be spending time praying for pastor. I should be spending time praying for Brother Robbie and what he's going through right now and his family. You know, I need to have on my prayer list things for other people and be conscious of spending time bringing them to God. So the first thing is perceive, be looking. The second thing is to pray. You know, petition heaven. Ephesians 6:18, pray always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. It's not pray without ceasing for yourself. It's pray without ceasing for the saints, for the people, the believers, the Christians. And then the third thing is that we need to partner. So we need to perceive, we need to pray, and we need to partner. Find opportunities to assist. Find opportunities to assist pastor, assist Corinne, assist others in the church, but just find opportunities to help. And I think what a wonderful example of that today. You know, this message came before today even happened, but I just really appreciate that when we started talking about doing something, so many of you were just quick to say, yes, I want to help. I think it was testament of this message being lived out in our lives. And I'm just so grateful for everybody who worked. Let's keep that. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep helping where we can help and be part of a team that is doing something for God rather than just individuals. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves." So we need to esteem. So that's talking to the leadership and pastor. And we see another example here in Exodus 17:12. We see Moses at the time when he was holding up the rod, and he says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they," so those that are around him, "took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, and the one on one side and the other on the other side. And the hands were steady until the going down of the sun." And the context here is that they were in battle, and Moses was trying to hold up the rod to just have the Lord's blessing in that battle. And he was getting fatigued and he was getting tired. He didn't ask for help. It's not like Moses said, hey, Brother Kirk, come here, help me. You know, Sister Jeanette, can you come here, help me? He didn't reach out and say, ask for help. But people were perceiving. They were looking. They saw. And then because they saw, they took a step to help. So the thought, just a simple message today. But if you remember Jeremiah, we remember him because he's famous. But also remember Urijah, who is not as famous, who is not as well known, but was faithful to God nonetheless, who didn't have someone there helping him, versus Jeremiah, who somebody went to help. Let's be the people who give a helping hand. Let's perceive what the need is, let's be in prayer, and let's partner to help the work of the Lord go forth. And that is the thought that I wanted to share with you this afternoon. Amen. All right, well, let's pray, and then to close out the, I guess, the preaching part, and then Brother Andre, I will hand back to you for our closing song. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Jeremiah and the record of it that's been kept in Scripture. Father, I have no support for the fact that Urijah lost his life. But Father, I thank you that in knowing that that happened, we are able to learn something from it. And Father, I pray that today you would help us to get behind Pastor and to be a support to him. Father, to get behind his family, be a support to them. But Father, help us to be a help with each other as well. So Father, to be a helping hand. Pray that you help us in this area to grow, to be strong, to be consistent, and to be faithful. Father, thank you. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his family. Thank you for the 10 years that we celebrated today. Be with them, give them strength, and support them in the future as well. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.